David Wolford, and I'm sitting here with Mr. Lon Carter Barton in Mayfield, Kentucky. It is August 13th, 2002, and we're going to talk a little bit about the schools in Mayfield. Mr. Barton taught in the Mayfield School District, but for the record, would you just go ahead and tell us where you're from and when you were teaching in Mayfield?
I am a native of Mayfield, having been born here in 1925, and I graduated from Mayfield High School in 1943, having spent my entire educational career to that point just up the street from where I live now. The elementary school was on one side of the campus. The middle school, or as we called it then, the junior high school, was on the east side of the campus. And the beautiful, stately, old three-story brick building in the center was Mayfield High School. All of these buildings stood on what had been at one time West Kentucky College. That had been started here in 1886, and property had been sold to the Mayfield City Board of Education in 1908. So the high school dates back to about 1908, and I was delighted to have the opportunity to serve in the history department for 30 years almost. I retired in 1988, and it was a very enjoyable, pleasant, and I hope productive time for me.
Mr. Barton, when you were in school in Mayfield as a student, where did the black children attend schools around here?
At the time that I was in school here, the black children went to Dunbar, which was located just on the south edge of town, on the southwest edge of town. And the school was set up on the basis of the lower grades being on the first floor and the high school grades being on the second floor. And there is where most of the Mayfield black kids attended, and all of them actually, where they went to school, if they stayed in school down through the high school years, plus the fact that the black kids that had gone to elementary schools, one-room schools out in the county, came into Mayfield and attended the junior high and the high school level years at Dunbar. So, as a matter of fact, then, Dunbar contained both the Mayfield black kids and the Graves County black kids who were in their teens, their early teens and mid-teens. And it was considered a very excellent program. Curriculum there was very well arranged, and the teaching staff, I'm told, did a very good job with their students.
Did students outside of Graves County, did any black students from outside of the county actually travel to attend Dunbar?
I don't know of any particular case along that line. There may have been some transfer students or some non-district students that attended Dunbar, but if there were, I really didn't know anything about them.
And how did the building, you think, compare to the other school buildings in Mayfield, the white school buildings?
I think at the time that I remember Dunbar, which was during the 40s and 50s, the building would be almost as well fixed and as usable as any of the other schools. There were, at that time, three elementary schools for the white kids. There was Longfellow School, which was on the campus of the high school, as I mentioned a while ago. And there was Washington School on the west end of town. And there was Lee School in the north end of town. And all of these schools ran from grade 1 to, I believe, about grade 6. And then the middle school years, 7th and 8th, were taken at the junior high school with the white kids, and the black kids at Dunbar moved evidently from the lower floor up to the second floor where the high school classes met.
When you were in college, maybe after you had finished your first degree, did you notice, did you ever have any integrated classes at Kentucky, University of Kentucky?
Or? Yes, the University of Kentucky had integrated, I don't remember what year, but I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that there were a couple of black teachers who had to come back to UK to take advanced work in one of my classes. I'm sorry I don't recall the year, but I really don't. It's
okay.
Offhand.
Let's talk a little bit about, you were in Mayfield, or coming back and forth to Mayfield when the Supreme Court ruled that separate schools would be unconstitutional. Do you recall what the reaction was in the city of Mayfield, or maybe in the whole county to that decision?
Well, there was, of course, there was naturally a certain degree of surprise. A very similar case, although it didn't deal with education, it dealt with other elements of everyday life, transportation and that sort of thing, had been heard by the Supreme Court much, much, much earlier, a case originating from Louisiana that wound up with the court ruling that if the facilities were equal, that they could be kept separate. I think that was basically a railroad case.
This is the Plessy decision you're speaking of,
right?
Yeah.
And the Supreme Court in the 1954 decision of the Topeka versus the Board of Education, of course, just reversed that idea and said that equal accommodations that were separate could not be justified under the constitutional provisions of equal rights and so on. However, I don't recall that there was any great community outcry about it. It was looked on, I guess, as a lot of Supreme Court decisions are, a little bit surprisingly. But I don't recall here that there was too much excitement about it. I do recall that the city school board chairman, in making an announcement at the commencement of the class of 1954, made some rather indirect reference to that decision. I believe if I remember this, I'm not sure that I do, Mark, so you correct me. I think that decision came pretty close to the end of the school year of 1954.
May 17th, 1954.
In May, right. Just a few days after that decision came down and after the publicity was spread out about it, the class of 1954 at Mayfield High School held its commencement. And as he nearly always did, the chairman of our Board of Education made a few remarks congratulating the class and so on. And there was some reference made, but I don't recall at all what it was. It was not a very forceful message, either for or against. But I do remember the fact that it was kind of brought into the picture by the school board chairman. And then, of course, in another couple of years, the black school here, which was Dunbar, was not closed, but was students there were given the opportunity, some of them, to come to Mayfield High School in the class of 1956, or the beginning of 1956, the beginning of the school year, in the fall of 56, and two of them were seniors, and they graduated in the following spring, 1957. A girl named Mary Lee Hayes and a boy named Van Langford. Both were transfers from Dunbar into Mayfield High School in the fall of 56. And later, others came. In fact, I think there were maybe a half dozen or more who came in the fall of 56 in that first group of black kids that integrated the school, the high school. But they were scattered on down in the junior year and the sophomore year. I think we only had two that graduated in 57. And later, of course, some years later in the 60s, Dunbar was completely closed. Up until that time, the black kids had been given kind of an option of whether they wanted to go to the white school, Mayfield High School, and take their work there, or whether they wanted to remain at Dunbar, and a good many did both. But Dunbar was finally shut down in the early 60s, I think about 1963 or 1964, along in that general time frame. I don't recall the exact year offhand.
Do you think that the black community in Mayfield, before the Supreme Court ruled, do you think that the black community desired to attend an integrated school or desired to attend school with whites?
I don't have any real way to evaluate that, Mark. I'm quite sure that there were some that were very much in favor of eliminating any kind of legally enforced segregation. And I don't think I've mentioned that all of this came as a result of the passage in the state legislature back early, quite early in the century, of what was called the Day Law. And the Day Law simply said that white students and black students could not be educated in the same building or in the same classroom. And I don't know that any black people here, any community leaders of the black race, had any great feeling of satisfaction or gratification when the decision was announced in 1954. And on the other hand, I don't know of any that were displeased about it or were unhappy with it. I really suppose that it depended on pretty much the individual rather than as a race looking at it as a personal idea, whether they felt like it would be beneficial or whether they felt that it would be less than beneficial. I guess there were people on both sides of that question, among the blacks as well as among the whites.
The high school integrated in the fall of 56, we said. Why did the Board of Education decide to integrate that high school at that point? That's fairly early. And were there any special steps taken?
I really don't know, Mark. That's a good question. But this was decided by the city school board, and if there was any recorded reasoning behind their decision, I really don't know what it was. I've never found any reference to anything except the position that it was now the law of the land. And that I suppose they felt like maybe that the sooner they at least gave the option, the better. As I said, Dunbar did not close simply because Mayfield was integrated. Dunbar stayed open for some years and had a fairly good attendance from the black kids. I am quite sure that the board felt like it was in the best interest of the community to get started, at least, and do it gradually rather than wait until some further injunction or some further court ruling would require them to do some different way. It seems that the gradual idea was accepted pretty well, starting out with a few black kids and still offering them the opportunity to go to the black school, and then coming around to closing the black school at a later date and moving all of the students to Mayfield High School, which it has been ever since 1963 or 4, mm-hmm. has all come to.
Well, you were teaching at Mayfield High School when this happened. What was that like when the black students came to Mayfield High School?
I don't recall that there was any special or any specific change of any kind. You might get a completely different viewpoint by talking to one of the white students of that day or one of the black students of that day, but as a teacher, I didn't really. My main job was to try to teach American history to the black kids and the white kids and all of that, rather than to be too concerned with reactions and repercussions and all. We did not have any outright violence that I know of. I have heard that in fairly recent years, I've heard that there was violence among students. But if there was, it didn't take place in room 36 on the third floor.
Well, what did take place in room 36? You said you had you taught both of the black seniors that year.
I had both of the black students, and the girl was very capable, and the boy was equally capable. I recall that the boy was very quiet in class, which I appreciated in many ways. Teachers would appreciate students listening rather than talking. But at the same time, this boy was never one to speak up and give any information unless he was called on. And if he were called on, he did an excellent job. But I know I talked to him a few times about the fact that he could volunteer answers as well as anybody else could, and probably would do as well as anybody else would. But he apparently just didn't see the point in doing too much volunteering of class discussion. But he was still a very good student, and the girl was a very good student. As I recall, both of them, they were very efficient, very good.
Do you remember any encounters, even if they may have been totally positive, between the black students and the white students in those first few years of integration?
Pardon me, Mark, David. Repeat that.
Do you recall any particular encounters that may have been positive or negative between the black and white students in the first few years of integration at Mayfield High?
The most violent situation, I think, developed Sturgis, Kentucky, and at Clay, Kentucky,
right,
which is not far from Sturgis. If I remember correctly, the governor, who was at that time Happy Chandler, I think, had to mobilize state National Guard troops and send them into both Sturgis and Clay. I recall just reading about it and hearing about it. I didn't want to make a trip to take an eyewitness observation of what was happening. But if I remember correctly, those were two places in western Kentucky, at least, that troops had to be brought in to maintain order and to maintain peace and so on. I don't recall whether this kind of situation developed outside of western Kentucky or not, really.
Well, in your classes, and I'm not just talking about 1956-57, let's talk about the following year or maybe even years after. How did blacks and whites relate to each other?
I can only say for Mayfield and Graves County that I think whites and blacks have had a very good relationship. I'm sure there are individuals of both races that are not as satisfied as they might be if things were different. But I think over the long haul, we have made the matter of getting along together very, very effective. As I say, I don't know that this would speak for the majority of the black people here or the majority of the white people, but I see no particular problems that have arisen that would jeopardize or endanger the relationship that existed for a long time. Undoubtedly, there have been unfortunate incidents on both sides of the coin. That's true, I guess, anywhere in the United States. I don't know any community in the entire country that's been without some kinds of unfortunate, unpleasant events. But on the whole, I think that people here have done very well. I think the black people here, for the most part, have had acceptable jobs, good jobs, and I think that they have been given all of the opportunities in the schools that you could expect them to have, be given. We've had some very outstanding black athletes to go through our schools here, and some of them have gone on and have done well in college.
How soon after integration did blacks play sports at Mayfield High School?
I beg your pardon?
How soon after the blacks began attending Mayfield?
It seems to me that in the second year, or maybe the first year that we integrated, we gained a couple of very good basketball players, but they were not, they didn't enter as seniors. I think they entered as maybe sophomores or juniors, I don't really know which, but Mayfield High School has had really some excellent athletes in football and basketball in particular over the years. I know I used to be a member of a Sandlot baseball team here called the South 7th Street Sluggers. And that was either sarcasm or a misplaced modifier or something. We were by no means sluggers. And not all of us lived on South 7th Street by any means. One of the members of our team that we recruited, as a matter of fact, lived in the black section of town. His name was Mickey Stubblefield. And Mickey played nearly every position, whichever one we needed him to be taken care of that day. And I might say Mickey was probably the only one of the sluggers that really lived up to that name. And I might say that his training in that athletic area of Sandlot baseball here in Mayfield helped him to make the professional leagues later, and he went on to play in the Negro Major Leagues for Kansas City. And I've often thought about the fact that had it not been for the good nature of the South 7th Street Sluggers to recruit and to maintain, to keep Mickey, our record would have been even worse, if that was possible, than it was, and no telling what his record might have been. So I'm speaking from personal experience here and saying that the addition of a black athlete to a team can sometimes bring some very profitable results.
Now, since you've taught at Mayfield High School for so long, I know you've attended many a reunion.
Many, many reunions. I love reunions.
Well, what's been your experience there when you consider black and white relations in Mayfield, or when you consider...
Well, for some reason, I don't have any idea. I'm not a psychologist, certainly not a sociologist, so I'd be hard-pressed to give a reason for this, but our black graduates don't turn out, as a rule, for the annual alumni reunions. I think a few come to the class reunions, but we have a what we call a Mayfield High School alumni reunion every year in July, and the people that attended high school in the 1920s come to that one, and most of the people, I say, are older. There are not very many, if any, students that graduated in the last 10 years that make those reunions, so it might not mean a great deal one way or the other, but I do think that the black students, even the ones that graduated, attendance at the alumni reunion that we have every summer and have had for 17 years now fails to attract the black students, even those that are of the age that would fit in, the ones who graduated in the 1960s or the late 50s or the 60s. Or the 70s. I don't believe not very many of them attend the reunions. The younger ones, I don't expect to see the younger white ones either, the ones that have graduated in the last 8 or 10 years, apparently think of the reunions as strictly for the old folks, but I think that all graduates of Mayfield High School should make an effort, if they can, to come to the reunion once a year, regardless of their age or their race or whatever. And maybe someday that'll happen, but as of now, I don't see it.
Well, is there anything you would like to close with here?
Well, nothing except that I'm pleased that you came down, and I think anyone that would drive all the way from Cincinnati to Mayfield to do research on a paper for the Historical Society, which you're doing, deserves a lot of credit. I certainly have enjoyed talking with you and getting to know you, and I trust that when you go back to your classroom of American history at Cincinnati, or in the school where you mm-hmm. teach, all of this trip this weekend will be, or this week rather, will be of help to you.
I think it will.
Thank you.
Well, thanks a lot, Mr. Barton.
Yes, sir.